From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudet. The temperatures will go up this weekend, finally. I mean, in Boise, we will hit 70 degrees on Saturday. Sunday, maybe 80. I realize we had snow Monday, but you know, that's why it's called May. It may be snowing, it may be sunny. So, after you've been playing outside all weekend or doing lawn work, you probably want to relax and watch something. That's where our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, comes in. He is our resident movie reviewer, and he is here to share with us what to watch this weekend. George, it's always a pleasure.
Gemma, how are you?
I am good. I'm looking forward to some nice weather.
Absolutely.
Right? It's time. But I tell you, I feel like I need to be kind of gearing up for movie season.
It's absolutely. It is almost summer blockbuster season, and it starts a little earlier this year because they've had more than a few sitting on the shelf. But I have a much anticipated film to tell you about up top.
Okay, well, do tell.
So, I never get over the fact that it is a privilege to see movies in advance. I take it very seriously. I love the fact that I can see these films and then share them with you. But sometimes it's just a personal pleasure. And that's what this film was. The lights went down and the music came up. And the camera sweeps over the English countryside and we are back at Downton Abbey. And This is the new Downton Abbey film, Downton Abbey, A New Era. And let's face it, they've got a built-in audience. But This movie did exceed my expectations. It is quite wonderful. So the new era of Downton opens with the Crawley family gobsmacked upon hearing some saucy news from the Dowager, and of course that's Violet, played by the amazing Dame Maggie Smith. Let's listen.
Have you told them, Lady Grantham?
She's told us nothing.
Do sit down. I've come into possession of a villa in the south of France.
What villa?
Start at the beginning.
Years ago, before you were born, I met a man.
They spend a few days together, and he gives her a house.
You never thought to turn it down?
Do I look as if I'd turn down a villa in the south of France?
Why do you think he gave you the villa?
That is where the mystery resides.
Then go off to the Riviera.
They better be warned. The British are coming.
With that, I will say goodnight and leave you to discuss my mysterious past.
Mysterious indeed. And so some of the Crawley family heads to the French Riviera. It is beautiful, but there is a parallel storyline because a motion picture company has asked to use Downton Abbey as a backdrop to film a silent movie. Now, keep in mind, this takes place in the 1920s, and you're thinking, why would these people ever agree to let a movie come in and take over their castle? It turns out that Downton Abbey has serious leaks in the attic, and the movie company will pay them any amount of money to film there. So some of the family heads to the French Riviera while the rest of the family stays at Downton Abbey to wrestle with these Hollywood types. And it is quite wonderful. And Julian Fellowes, of course, the man who created Downton Abbey, is again at it. He has written the screenplay for this new film. And by the way, Fellowes is, if anything, generous with his content and economical with our time, which is to say that anyone else would turn this into a 3-hour movie or another 8-hour miniseries. This is a very quickly paced spit spot. 2 hours. It is fun. It is lovely. It is Maggie Smith, by the way, at her best. And of course, through 6 seasons on public television, she dropped all of those wonderful lines. And here's just a few of those.
You're a woman with a brain and reasonable ability. Stop whining and find something to do.
You are quite
quite wonderful the way you see room for improvement wherever you look. I never knew such reforming zeal.
I take that as a compliment.
I must have said it wrong. I'm so looking forward to seeing your mother again. When I'm with her, I'm reminded of the virtues of the English.
But isn't she American?
Exactly.
And Maggie Smith, I mean, one of her many gifts is that she is rip-snorting hilarious 1 minute, and 2 minutes later she has us in tears, and she shifts those emotions with such agility that she remains true to her character's own sense and morality. There are plenty of hellos and goodbyes in this latest Journey to Downton. My only caution is that you do please bring a tissue. The story promises a full range of emotions, including a lot of laughter, more than a few tears. No spoilers from me, but it opens 1 week from today at the Flicks, and it's going to be there for a while. This one's going to be a hit, and I think that Downton fans probably would have gone anyway, but this film is really, really good. Don't miss this one.
So I have a question, George.
Yep.
What if you have not watched the series? Is it a standalone movie?
No.
Or do I need to like binge watch everything first?
You probably should binge watch a lot. You know, for those TV series that turn into films and they say, oh, you don't have to watch it. Well, that's nonsense. Of course you have to watch it. And there is a lot of backstory here. There's the upstairs and the downstairs, but these stories are very nuanced, and these folks have gone through a world war and a Spanish flu, and a lot of people have lost their fortunes, and some people have gained some. But at its core, it is a story about decency. It is less a story about the haves and the have-nots. It is a story about doing the right thing and people treating people well. And that is a rarity. And you do have to be familiar with Downton Abbey. But I think that there's quite a few people. What's interesting is that if you think of when this series first came on, what, about 10 years ago, there's no way that anyone could have predicted that this would have been a hit. Yes, it was a hit on public television, but it surpassed that. To this day, they are the highest rated shows that public television ever broadcast. It was a global hit because it transcended that quote unquote masterpiece vibe. It's really, really good. It's written well, and the casting's amazing.
Well, see, there you go. All right. Disney Plus, and this is their biggest series ever, or at least to date.
Absolutely. Disney Plus, by the way, is doing very well.
It really is.
It has just topped all forecasts in just announcing its latest quarter. They gained nearly 8 million new paid customers just in the past 3 months of this year. So
they got all on Netflix.
Netflix is going in one direction. Disney Plus is going in the other. So Disney Plus right now is at nearly 150 million subscribers. Keep in mind that most Netflix subscribers are not in North America. Most of them are in other nations. So Disney Plus has had a number of big features and series, but the biggest by far in expectations and in budget is about to hit Disney Plus 2 weeks from tomorrow, and that is Obi-Wan Kenobi, the series. It stars Ewan McGregor, once again playing Obi-Wan, and this takes place 10 years after the Star Wars franchise ended. If you remember, Obi-Wan had just saved the twin babies, who we know are Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia. But now Obi-Wan is a wanted man, and the Empire and the Dark Side are trying to hunt him down. So let's listen.
Stay hidden, or we will not survive.
Leave us alone.
When the time comes, he must be trained.
Like you trained his father.
Yes. Yes, and his father, of course, was Darth Vader. And Darth Vader is in this. So Hayden Christensen also returns. He, of course, played Anakin, who became Darth Vader. Yeah. So, yes, Darth Vader is in this series. And some other surprises as well, including the original cast that played the uncle and aunt who raised young Luke, Joel Edgerton and Bonnie Piese. Obi-Wan hits Disney Plus May 27th. 6 episodes. I've seen a couple. They are jam-packed. They are the antithesis of these series that go on way too long with too many episodes. You can't miss a frame of this. And the fact that Ewan McGregor signed up for this, there's a lot of Star Wars spinoffs. This is right in the heart of the Star Wars mythology. And it links, basically, the most popular films. It's going to be huge. Obi-Wan opens in 2 weeks.
You know what's interesting to me, George, is when we think of these streaming services, right? And they are getting the likes of Ewan McGregor to sign on to do these limited series, right? I mean, that didn't happen 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I mean, it sure seems to be showcasing and highlighting, you know, our viewing habits, I think.
Agreed. And I think that the quality has gone up head and shoulders, and that this series is as good as the films. And I don't think Ewan McGregor would have signed on otherwise. I know where I was in May of 1977, and that was standing in line for the very first Star Wars film with my dad, who didn't understand a lick of what was going on. But the rest of us pretty much knew that there was the world before that film opened and the world after. And the fact that here we are, oh my gosh, all these years later, half a century later, and the franchise is as strong as ever. I mean, we're talking about grandfathers, fathers, and their kids, right? who now enjoy this. And Star Wars, one of the great things about Star Wars is that it has an equal number of fans, men and women. And you don't see that in too many franchises. You know, so many of them lean in one direction or the other. The Star Wars franchise is universal.
Well, and I think it's
timeless. Pardon the pun,
George. Right? But I think it's timeless as well. I mean, I think I was like 5 when the first one opened, but my memory is not actually seeing the movie. It's that my older brother took me to see it. And I remember he saved up his own money and he took me to go see it.
But it always had to get better. And in fact, it did. And the stories got more serious and they got better. And it created its own mythology. And otherwise, it wouldn't be what it is.
And the fact that Han Solo is like 80 should blow everybody's mind now.
Yes.
I know. Yeah. Okay. We don't often talk about Broadway theater because normally we focus on television and movies, but, George, I love live theater.
Yeah.
I have been blessed enough to go to Broadway numerous times in my life and see theater. I mean, literally on Broadway, but, we got some real life drama going on.
Absolutely. And what's interesting here is that this is lighting up social media. So, yes, you can see this online as well. It happened this week. The Stephen Sondheim musical company has been revived on Broadway. And the amazing Tony winner, Patti LuPone, is one of the stars. Well, this past Monday, on Broadway, the cast came out on stage to do a little Q&A with the audience. And anyone who knows Patti LuPone knows that she does not suffer fools. And when she politely and repeatedly asked a couple of people in the theater to pull their face masks above their noses and they refused to, this is what happened.
Get the f*** out! Who do you think you are that you do not respect the people that are sitting around you?
I pay your salary, the woman says.
Wow.
My gosh, that she doesn't even pay for the seat she's sitting in. Maybe
exactly.
She rents it for a few hours, but police. And yes, they were escorted out of the theater. I should note that in 2009, Patti LuPone was starring in Gypsy, and she stopped mid-song to demand that an audience member taking pictures be thrown out of the theater, and somebody captured that as well. Who do you think you are?
Wow.
She said in 2009 and again this week. I've interviewed Patti LuPone, and you better bring your A game when you talk to her. But she is amazing. And my guess is she has a lot more people in support of what she said than the antithesis. But we should note that Patti LuPone has just been nominated for another Tony Award, so you can imagine how colorful that award show will be this year if someone doesn't have their face masks on. By
Absolutely.
The way, face masks are required in New York and Broadway theaters.
Which makes sense because it's crowded and
yeah.
You're indoors.
It's the rules.
I got the chance to see her in London, George, mm-hmm. back in 1993 when they premiered Andrew Lloyd Webber's production of Sunset Boulevard.
Oh my gosh, yes. And that was very controversial.
It was.
Because she did not come with the show to New York.
No, she did not.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. So
I saw her in the original Evita back in the 70s. And she, if there is a current diva on the Broadway mm-hmm. stage, it's Patti LuPone.
She deserves the title, rightfully so.
She owns it and wears it well. And folks, if you haven't heard or seen this, well, you've heard it first here. But I promise you, people are going to be talking about it. This just exploded on Broadway this week.
Yeah, exactly. Well, George, you've given us so much to talk about. What amazing things to see coming up in television and in movies. So just always a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks so much, Gemma. Enjoy the weather.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to. Mm-hmm. We've been speaking with our wonderful resident movie reviewer and Morning Edition host, George Prentice, about what to watch this weekend. I want to thank all of you for joining us today and to remind you that coming up tomorrow on Idaho Matters, it's our Friday Reporter Roundtable. This is, of course, where we get you updated on the news that made headlines in our region this week. And there's a lot to talk about, so don't miss that. And I want to say a thank you to our senior producer, Samantha Wright, our assistant producer, Hannah Gardosky. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you back here tomorrow.